Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful day you've given us and so many blessings already, and now the blessed opportunity to get back into your word. Help us now as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word guidance, we pick it back up here in some further teachings from the Lord to give us the guidance that we need. And here in Matthew chapter 23, the Lord's teaching us about some of those out there that will be false teachers, false prophets, and blind guides. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning up here. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Showing us here that the teaching of the Word of God can actually be taught by someone who doesn't follow the Word of God, but that doesn't diminish from the value of the Word of God. Because when it is spread, when it is shared, the source doesn't matter. It can come from someone who is ungodly. But as long as it is the Word of God, you can depend on it. And that's what he's telling them here. He just reads again, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." The old term, practice what you preach. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." Now this phylactery goes all the way back to the Old Testament, where they would take a little box and they would put in that box either a scripture or a prayer request, and they would tie it around their wrist, or they would tie it with a band and on their forehead. And this was a misinterpretation of the Word of God concerning that His Word should be in your hand and in your head. And speaking of actually in your actions and in your thoughts, but they took it literally and would put it on their hand and on their head. And to show people how righteous they were, how much scripture that they were carrying around, or how many prayers that they had lift up, they would make a bigger and bigger box and put on their wrist or on their forehead. And the borders of the garments, that was indication that they were part of the Levitical priesthood. So they wanted to make that very well known to others. So these are those that are out there just for their own self-glory. We see a lot of that, that's for sure. As it continues explaining these that love to be lifted up as being something righteous, but are not. Verse 6, "And love the uppermost rooms of feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Like, I am a VIP, give me the best seat." But that's the attitude that they were dealing with back then, they're still dealing with today. "And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." But we know that the term rabbi is commonly used today, and it shouldn't be that way. Just like those who, in the Catholic religion, call their leaders fathers, holy fathers, and the Lord clearly tells us that that should not be done. As we continue, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." That's pretty clear. In verse 9 there, "But But yet you see the Catholic Church calling their religious leaders Father, Father so-and-so, Father this, and then the Pope as well. They call him Holy Father. Total sacrilege, totally 100% against the Word of God, because he clearly says here, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Now, you can use the term Father in an earthly reference to your physical, biological father and mother, but that's not what he's talking about here. Here he's talking about the reverent title of Father that is only for the Heavenly Father. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Only one, that's it. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And Jesus gave us a lot of examples of that. Even after his death, burial, resurrection, he stuck around and he even prepared a fish and bread meal for the disciples and served them, giving us that example that even the risen Christ is still desiring to serve as we should. Verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. And that should really get the attention of some of these folks that are out there. That he clearly says there, ye shall receive the greater damnation. Those hypocrites out there that are in the ministry just for their own selfish gain, to, as he says here, devour widows' houses, as they want that inheritance. Sign your estate over to me. When you pass away, it'll all come to me, kind of attitude. Now, don't take this wrong. There's nothing wrong with you leaving your belongings, your estate, to a God-glorifying ministry. But be very careful who you give the things that the Lord has given you. Don't cast your pearls before swine, as it says. And here he's clearly putting these hypocrites, that's one of the things they're out there for, their own selfish gain. They want that. They go and find and speak to widows so they can devour their houses, take their money, even before they pass away. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And that is evident as well, as you see the times go on, that people are getting more and more evil and more conniving and manipulative. Woe unto you, ye blind guides. That's where it pinpoints it. Blind guides. They are trying to be the guides. They want to guide others to the path. But they themselves cannot see the right path, so they're leading them down the wrong path. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whither is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by that, by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. They focus on things incorrectly, and they put the wrong priority on things and actions. Therefore, they are, as he says, blind guides. As he continues, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. The hypocrites, they like to appear to be righteous, but deep inside they are not. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. The inside needs to be taken care of first, and that can be done by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Ghost comes into you and starts to begin a work. And it is from the inside out. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. What is really within the heart is what counts, not what an outside appearance is. Some people love to present themselves as something they are not. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? He was really blasting them. And you can tell, the Lord does not like hypocrites. Those that are pretending to be his, but are not. Those that are pretending to be righteous, displaying it outwardly, but inward, they are not. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Now here he's not talking about what has already been sent to them. He's saying what will be sent to them. And here he's talking about the apostles that were there with him, that were learning from him, and even further along as Christianity grew, those that have become believers, and the persecution that has been going on through all the ages. He told them it was going to happen. He told them what they'd be doing, and they are doing it still today. Verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. This generation, talking about the Jews, talking about the people, not a particular life cycle. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. All right, let's move on to chapter 24 here. Further guidance from the Lord as he reads. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That was a bit of prophecy given to them. And it was fulfilled in 70 A.D. when the Romans come in and they burned the temple. Not knowing what they were doing, they wound up creating such a fire that it melted some of the gold ornaments and decorations and so forth that was on the walls and on the columns. And that gold melted and dripped down into the rocks. So they wound up tearing the structure completely apart all the way down to the foundation plate, getting after that gold. So it was completely torn down. Verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? So he begins to teach us here. Prophecy about the things to come. Clues in this about what is ahead for us. As it continues. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So he's letting us know that these wars and rumors of wars that we've been hearing all this time, and that we clearly hear today, are an indication of the things that will come to be. The closer we get to the fulfillment of the last days that he continues to teach about, the more that we're going to see these wars and rumors of wars and the other things that he tells us as he continues. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And we surely see that today. The earthquakes in divers places, various places around the world that haven't had earthquakes in recorded history, are now having earthquakes. And these wacko climate change cult followers are saying that it's because of our actions and our behaviors that we've created pollution that has changed the climate. They don't want to admit that it's the Lord who has total control over the climate. They would like to think that they have control over the climate and that they can control everybody else and their behavior, use the climate change as a scare tactic on folks. So don't fall for that. Jesus Christ is in control of everything. He spoke it all into existence. He's going to control the weather exactly like he wants to control it. Mankind cannot affect the weather one bit. Cannot change the climate. No matter what we do, we cannot change the climate. Can we pollute the earth? Sure, we can pollute the earth. It can make it very uncomfortable, make it unhealthy to live in. But we're not going to change the climate or destroy the planet. We cannot destroy the planet. Even if we set off every nuclear bomb and every other explosive device known to mankind, we still cannot destroy the planet. Jesus Christ is controlling the existence of this planet, not mankind. So don't fall for the false teachings of those that he was speaking of there. Those that scaremongers, those that want to control people using the threat of climate change or anything else. The pestilences, just like all this stuff we've been going through with the coronavirus, used to manipulate and control people and used to gain money. Lots of profit has been made over this disease that has been spread around, this pestilence, and a lot of power and authority given to those officials that try to present themselves as being the experts. But it's all prophesied. These are the things that we're seeing unfold, as it says there again in 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows, prophesied about the last days, all the way back into the Old Testament, the things that are going to be occurring that are building up to the final judgments that we are all going to be facing. Prophesied and being fulfilled. Just the accuracy is amazing. Just like he prophesied to the disciples about the destruction of the temple, then being fulfilled in 70 AD, just like he told them it would happen. Just like the many, many other things that he told them, and they were fulfilled exactly in the detail that he told them. Just as this will be fulfilled, the nation on rising up against nation, we surely see that around the world today, the pestilences, the earthquakes, and the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And that is being ramped up around the world today. The increased persecution and slaughter of the Christians around the world. And an increase in this country here. More and more persecution against the Christians. More and more Antichrist movement coming in. Verse 9. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. We saw this betrayal in a small example of it, in comparison to what he's speaking of here, where they would have you try to watch your neighbor, watch your family member even, watch your associates. Are they wearing their mask for COVID? Have they had their vaccine? Are they following all the rules and regulations given them by Dr. Fauci and all the other false scientists and false medical professionals that are out there that were gaining millions of dollars, and they fulfilling the prophecies. Says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. And that is clearly what we see today as well. It's terrible, but it's prophesied. It ought to excite the Christians, ought to encourage the Christians. The darker this world gets, the more the light of Jesus Christ is going to shine out. So be the example. Be the one who shares the love and the light of Jesus Christ into this dark world, as he continues teaching us about the last days here. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That endurance is keep the faith. Keep on the right pathway. Share the gospel. Share the love. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This verse 14 here is actually speaking of during the tribulation time. It's during the tribulation time, even the angels will be out there spreading the gospel. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, this here goes back to the prophecies in Daniel, as he spoke of there, about the Antichrist that is going to rise up after the rapture. And at the midpoint of the tribulation, he's going to set himself up as God, sitting there on the rebuilt temple. And that is known as the abomination of desolation. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Them, the born-again Christians that will be saved during the tribulation time, they need to flee to the mountains. Mountains of Megiddo, they'll be protected there while the great tribulation kicks in. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Limited to the 7 years. The 7 year tribulation is what he's teaching them about right here. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Those false prophets, those false teachers, going to be on the increase. We see examples of it today, and they are having quite an influence already, but this is just the very beginning of it. Once the rapture takes place and the righteous are taken out of here, they're really going to ramp it up. Behold, I have told you before. Tell us beforehand, when we see it fulfilled, we know the accuracy of the prophets of the past, we know that the prophecies of the future are going to be fulfilled. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now this is speaking of his return at the end of the tribulation time when he sets up the millennial kingdom. Everyone on the planet is going to know it at that moment. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation in those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the Son of Man in the heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Speaking of right before he establishes that millennial kingdom, and he teaches us here with a parable, where he reads, now learn a parable of the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This generation, they're again talking about the nation of Israel, not a particular person's lifetime, but the nation of Israel and mankind shall not pass away. All this is going to be fulfilled. Going to be fulfilled exactly like he has prophesied it. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as of the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were born before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. So he tells us to watch. He tells us to be ready. We need to watch and we need to be ready. We see the signs of the times. We see the fulfilling of the prophecies. We see the nation rising up against nation. We see the pestilences and the earthquakes and so forth. So we know it can't be much longer till the rapture occurs and then kicks in the tribulation time. And then the end of the tribulation time, the millennial period, which he's making a reference to here as well. So many things ahead of us as born-again Christians. So let's all get out there and spread the gospel and share the love and shine the light into this dark world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you revealed to us from your word. Help us to have that burning desire to dig deep into there to find that message that you want us to have. And encourage us to go out and share that with others as well. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of your work. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.